I am Pastor Jay. I am the pastor of Children, Youth, and Family here at the table. I'm very unaccustomed to this front row being empty when I preach, because usually my little group of third through fifth graders, our mighty class is sitting here, so it's a little bit empty for me, but I just want to take a breath. For me, as I prepared for Palm Sunday, I was like, there's not very much Palm Sunday energy to be had right now, at least for me. As I was kind of reflecting on what's going on in our world and like, how do I get up and talk about praise as Jesus parades into Jerusalem? And I thought, what a strange thing also that we have to liturgically bookend our week Sunday to Sunday with just joy. And that the only parts of Holy Week that invite us into lament or any of those tough things we're sitting it with, often churches kind of just glaze over, and some churches don't do Good Friday. Some churches don't do Maundy Thursday. We don't do Maundy Thursday, but some churches don't do a lot of parts in between Sunday to Sunday that help us sit with some of the harder things. And I thought to myself, the message of joy and parade can't be the only thing that's inside Palm Sunday. And so I really believe that our faith invites us to wrestle with the text. And so that's what I did. I sat down this week, and day after day, I kind of pored over the text, and I wrestled with it. And I think I've found a message for us today that I'll share with you all, and you can feel free to share back with me what you're feeling. I really think preaching is a dialogue. I don't think it's a monologue. Obviously, it is literally a monologue, but I feel that the energy of it should be more of a dialogue. So I'd invite you to share with me what you're feeling this Holy Week as well. So let's jump into the text that we can wrestle with together today, and I hope that as we move forward, this will feel faithful to you as to what the Gospels are trying to tell us. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into the village over there, and as soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing it?' say, 'Its master needs it,' and he will send it back right away." They went and found a colt tied to a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some people standing around said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread branches cut from the fields. And those in front of him, those following, were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. After he looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, he returned to Bethany with the 12. It's Mark 11, 1 through 11. So as I studied it, I thought about my liturgical training, and I thought about how we are always supposed to teach people that Hosanna means praise to God, or thanks be to God. And Hosanna doesn't actually mean that. Has anyone in here been told that Hosanna or Hosanna means praises to God, or praise to God, or blessings to God? Just raise your hand. I would just love to see, yeah, a lot of us. Hosanna doesn't mean that. And I think actually we lose something really, really important about Palm Sunday if we don't know what that word means. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about this portion of Mark 11, though, that actually references Psalm 118. And it says, "Hosanna, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." This actually isn't original. The people aren't shouting something original. They're not. They're not spontaneously praying out. This is actually a reference, a reading of Psalm 118, which is a really common psalm to be read during pilgrimage as people would come into Jerusalem for high holy days. And so this is a tradition. This is part of what people already do. But it's in a new energy, perhaps, on this day. But I think that this text is what I wanted to zoom in closest on, because I think it might be the thing that we sometimes the most misread about Palm Sunday. So I want to zoom in specifically on Hosanna, like I just said. So Hosanna comes from Hoshana, which is the root word of it in Hebrew. Hosanna is the Greek, and Hoshana is the Hebrew. And the root word of Hoshana means save or help. Originally, this word in Psalm 18 was used as a plea to God. It was not used as a praise. It was used in the Psalms to shout out to God, saying, God, help us. God, save us. Hosanna. It was a cry for help from the people in whatever moment they were in. And many of the high holidays actually remember how God liberated people from their deepest need, from enslavement, from violence. And so on the high holidays, people remember how God liberated. And so it's a remembrance of that time when they were in exile, when they were in these places screaming out, Hosanna, God save us. And so I wonder for us tonight, is there a possibility that as Jesus was riding a colt into Jerusalem, that people were crying out, God save? That people were crying out in desperation, please save, as the Roman Empire was also parading into Jerusalem that day in order to strike fear into the hearts of people during their holidays? Is it possible that people were not crying out about how great Jesus was, Jesus praise, God praise, but it was a Hosanna of heartbreak, of heartache. It was a Hosanna that was calling on a real and urgent material need to be freed from the fear and the violence that the Roman Empire brought. Is it possible that this word, although it has now been changed into a word that means to praise God, that and it was eventually used that way in the early church, but is it possible that that day, as Jesus rode into the city, he was hearing people cry out and not praise out? I think it is possible. That's why I'm bringing it up. I think it is possible. And I think that that brings actually something really meaningful to us this Holy Week, as maybe some of us feel inundated with the news cycles, with the darkness that continues to reverberate, I think, around the world. Is it possible that in Holy Week, this week we know that people cried out, God save? And that God save doesn't just yearn for a purely spiritual salvation of our souls so that we can all go to heaven and we can all feel good in the end of days. But that Hosanna and that the saving that we're asking for is urgent for now, for our material needs, for our tangible pain, and the tangible pain of our neighbors. Last week, Debbie talked about the loaves and fishes story. And I think in the loaves and fishes story, what we hear from Jesus is that God does care about people's immediate material needs in their body, in their biological experience of this thing we call life. That it's not about this later on in the future, pie in the sky kind of salvation, but it is a bringing of God's kingdom here on earth now. God save in our tangible needs now. I think it sometimes becomes easy to make everything a spiritual metaphor and to just imagine that it's just about treating everyone really nicely so that to praise God so much that your soul is saved and you will go to heaven. I think that is a simple faith, but I think that is a faith that sometimes discounts the real lived oppression being experienced by the vulnerable all over our earth right now. All over the world right now on Palm Sunday, there are voices crying out, God save, God help. And so what if tonight, Hosanna isn't a celebration, that we're all going to be saved next Sunday. But what if it is a word which helps us know how to cry out to God, even amongst our heartbreak? I'm going to show you a picture that is evidently, because of the flag, we can assume this is in Gaza, and it is. But tonight, this picture could be from anywhere. Right now, across the globe, there are people crying out not a praise but a plea, like I just mentioned, not for salvation of their souls, but for their urgent physical needs they have for food, for shelter, for safety, for a brief moment to breathe between bombings, to hold their loved ones. It could be in Ukraine. It could be in Yemen. It could be Somalia. It could be Syria. It could be in Myanmar. It could be on almost every continent in our world. Globally, people are trying to assert their supremacy, their dominance over other people that they have deemed are less of the image of God than them. Less than in a political way, less than in a spiritual way, less than in a physical, just human embodied way, less than human. And civilians are at the crosshairs. And today, I ask us to harness the power of an urgent Hosanna, God help, God save. As Palestinian civilians are crying out, there are Palestinians' voices that are bearing witness to the very existence of their people, to the very existence of their joy, to the very existence of their homes. In case history attempts to erase those voices, I want to read this post by a boy named Joe Jayab, who is a teen. He's the one that you see there on the right. He is a Palestinian boy from Gaza, and he applied for this awesome program where basically he would get to leave Gaza, which is almost impossible. And he would be granted this program opportunity where he could travel all over Israel and the West Bank, and he would get to kind of blog and vlog about his experience, make videos, make content, share stories of all of the people who live there, Israelis and Palestinians alike. And that he would just get to witness to the world the beauty of this part of the world. So I'm going to read his post that he wrote at the beginning of the war. This isn't to say anything about our politics about this region. This isn't to say that I think that there is a specific political solution to the biggest geopolitical mess that I think many of us have witnessed through our lifetime. But this is just to say that there is a young Palestinian boy who wanted the world to know about his people and about his land, and that many people are crying out tonight, God save. So I'm going to move aside so that you can see it, and I'm also going to move aside so I can read from the screen. You can close your eyes, or you can keep them open. I'm just going to read his post that he wrote in case he didn't make it through the war. He said, "My last journey on August 22nd, 2023, I swear I will never forget these memories. Also, it's very hard for me to get through this, so might take a minute. I will not forget Ramallah and the kindness of its people. I will not forget Bethlehem and the holiness of its places. I will not forget Hebron and the generosity of its people. I will not forget Jerusalem and your view of the lofty Kuba, Dome of the Rock. I will not forget Nablus, its Knafa, and its old town. I will not forget Jaffa and its amazing evolution. I will not forget Haifa and the magic of its beauty. I will not forget Acca and my jump from the lofty wall. I will not forget crossing Ras Nukora. I will not forget the Golan Heights and its nature. I will not forget Negev and the desert. I will not forget my beloved Gaza." So, he wrote this as a last goodbye in case he didn't make it through the war, and he is still alive. He recently posted that he and his family are fleeing from Gaza so that they can live. They're hoping to find refuge in one of the nearby countries that is taking refugees from Gaza. In Mark 11, I think it's easy to think, to say, to preach, Jesus is on a joyful parade. A more appropriate word, I think, for some people might be hallelujah in a Christian context, because Jesus will bring peace to all who believe and save us. And all that stuff that we've heard our whole lives about what Holy Week is about. But Jesus doesn't come for a false peace that ignores the cries of our neighbors. Jesus comes for a peace that is whole, that recognizes the innate imago Dei, image of God, in each and every single one of God's beloved children. Jesus doesn't come for that false peace. And Jesus knows that peace without liberation is not a sustainable peace. It is not a peace sown in the Gospels of Christ. These two images that I'm showing now are from the Holy Land. I took them when I had the, I think, honestly, honor of getting to visit Israel and the West Bank. The more colorful image on the left is a wall that separates Israel and Gaza. The text all over the wall says peace. There's another part of the wall that says path to peace. It's beautiful, and all over the wall, there are small stones that say things like peace and love. All very, very important sentiments. But it is from only the Israeli side. One that does need peace. One where thousands of people, I just talked to my friend who lives in Tel Aviv, and I said, how is the situation? And she said, terrible. Every day, thousands and thousands of people in the street protesting Netanyahu, because they want no violence, because they want the inherent dignity of their neighbors. So peace seems far off, but they want it so badly and need it. But on the other side, this wall is from the Palestinian side. It is from not Gaza, but the West Bank. And all over this wall, there are images and words of liberation, of empowerment of people, of wanting to be freed from this wall that separates them from their neighbors. And although both of these walls were created very much with important intentions, one cannot exist without the other. Jesus' message in Palm Sunday is that peace and liberation are not separate. When he parades into Jerusalem, it is not a mistake he parades in at the same time as Pilate. The peace cannot come without the liberation of the people from the fear inside of Jerusalem. And so these images stand side by side, not to dismiss one another, but I think that these images of a wall that was built with a very specific intention, that both of their intents, when they come together, peace and liberation are the only two things to bring a sustainable end to the need for a wall. Peace on one hand, liberation on the other. It is what God came for. It is what God came down and fleshed in a human body to experience the situation of our human lives. It is what Jesus' parade was for. It is what Joe Jayab's work to share his land with the world was for. And although it seems aspirational or like, yeah, that seems great, like peace, liberation, like that all seems great, but it seems so far off, it is aspirational. But we can't have hope without aspirations. We can't have hope without some kind of imagination for what else is possible. It's about moving us towards an imagined future where God's abundance really is for each and every single one of God's beloved children. And so I wanna say, I think maybe this is controversial, maybe it's not. But I cannot think of anything more pressing for Palm Sunday for us Christians than bearing a witness to those who are living in fear, just as those suffering under Roman rule were. So what if Palm Sunday and Holy Week isn't just about feeling good about how amazing Jesus' ministry was or how incredible Jesus' power is? What if it is also about remembering how much God hated oppression, war, empire, false peace, and doing everything in our power to undermine that evil? I can't honestly think of anything more in alignment with the story of Jesus than to hold urgency around intimately equating ourselves with the cries of the hurting, with the Hosanna that says, God save. To be in holy solidarity with those who are hurting, fearful, and those who have died. In Mark 11, there is an urgency to Jesus' call to go get a colt. It's a command. He's not very polite about it. It's not like, oh, you know, if you've got some time, could you maybe find me a colt? And if it's not a colt, that's fine. Find anything for me to ride on. There's an urgency. Jesus says, go get a colt, bring it to me. There is an urgency. Like, I imagine Jesus, like, rushing the disciples to do this. There is an urgency to get into Jerusalem, to undermine the Roman Empire at the very moment that he does. Jesus wanted to ride in humbly, not just to have a parade, but to oppose supremacy and a witness to the hurting and the afraid. Imagine him riding into Jerusalem, hearing people cry out, Hosanna, God save, God help. Changes the idea of how Jesus might have felt, right? Instead of people just kind of setting up celebratory, treating him like a celebrity, but that he knows that he is riding to his death and he is hearing people beg him for help. I think that changes it a bit, in my mind at least. So even though there is this heaviness, like I did mention, there is a hope. In an aspirational moment of what the urgency Jesus brings is. And so I invite you to consider how you might be moved by the urgency of the cry of Hosanna, of Hosanna, God help. So I retranslated a little bit of Mark, of this portion from Mark 11, 9 through 10, to read what I think more literally by kind of just the spirit of the text might mean. It translated blessings into brought by hope, because blessing is ultimately an expression of hope. So I'm going to read it to us, and I want to see if it sits with you differently tonight, or if you hear it any differently. Save us now. Brought by hope was the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hopeful is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. O liberation from the highest. Please join me in prayer. God, on this Palm Sunday, we know that there is celebration to come. We know that this week will end with celebration, knowing that you do ultimately overcome the pain of this world, the harm, the violence, that in the Easter Sunday there is jubilation. But God, we tonight stand in an urgent witness to the Hosanna, God save, God help of our neighbors. Tonight we open our ears and our hearts to hear the ways in which all of our neighbors cry out, the ways in which Israelis cry out for peace, for an end to the violence, the ways in which those in Gaza cry out, God save, for their safety, for their well-being, for their humanity. The way in which everybody engaged in violent conflict across the world cries out. We stand in solidarity and in urgency with that cry, as you did, as you rode into Jerusalem to oppose fear and to oppose violence. We take seriously the call in our faith to understand deeply the ways that we might be able to engage in our corners of the world. We pray that you strengthen us in this Holy Week to continue in that urgent call. In your name we pray, amen.
So between the excitement of Palm Sunday and before they know anything about what's about to happen on Easter, in between there, we have Thursday, which here at the table we celebrate every week and we remember every week with communion. And so on that night, the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was in a room with his disciples and he takes some bread from the table and he breaks it and says, "This is my body broken for you. When you eat it, do this in remembrance of me." And then he takes a cup and he pours wine into the cup and he says, "This is my blood in the new covenant shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so as you come forward during the music, you'll take some bread, you'll dip it into the cup, and just remember the covenant, the promise that Jesus gives to us as he died on the cross. If you could stand, and we will pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You can remain standing. You can close your eyes if that feels right to you, or you can remain open. You can hold out your hands if that's the posture that feels right, or you can just stand and receive these words. No matter who you are or what you've done, who you love, what you've lost, where you've been, or where you've stayed, there will always be a seat for you at the table because you are a beloved child of God, and beloved, you belong. Go in peace.
Guess I believe in the things I can see, and I see you when I close my eyes. Will I see you after I die? I guess I believe in love after life. Get everything else.